Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
Then deny yourself and follow me. This is the gift of the Lord to his followers. So I'll start my talk by saying what the benefits of self-denial, and then I speak a little bit of the history of self-denial among saints, especially contemporary saints. Then the beauty of life in self-denial, and then possibly an application, or at least how I would acquire this gift. So it's a gift from the Lord to his followers. The Lord said, if you like to follow me, if you like to become my disciple, then deny yourself and follow me. Why is that? Because if I have my own identity separate from the Lord, then how can I join in? How can I be part of the Lord's body? I should not have specific features. I have to deny myself such that I can join the body of Christ. So I'll start by the first point, which is the benefits of self-denial as a gift from the Lord to his followers. And why I start with that, hoping that as I finish, you know that there's a gift, there's a treasure called self-denial. And I was begging the Lord all the way, and now sitting next to Abuna, that the Lord will give us this desire to deny ourselves because of the benefit that I get out of it. Number one benefit is that you save yourself from punishment. All of us are sometimes exposed to mistakes, and we misbehave, and sometimes we are scared of possible punishment because I should not be as a servant behaving this way and the other. So there's a way to escape punishment. Maybe good to read something from the Bible to understand that how self-denial is always attached to brokenheartedness. And I'm poor in the spirit, I'm weak, I should not claim much for myself. I follow the Lord happily, and I have no identity. My identity is that I am servant of the Lord, and this is the beauty in my life. I read part from 2 Chronicles to show you how this idea of brokenheartedness, humiliation, self-denial can be a reason for us to escape punishment. I read from chapter 12 in 2 Chronicles. And remember this text, because every now and then you can read it as encouragement. If you face difficulty in your behavior, if when I misbehave and I feel that I'll be punished, I read this text to give me the hope that the Lord will not punish me. So it happened after 5 years it came to pass when Rehoboam established his kingdom and he became strong. So he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. Being the leader of Israel, he forgot about the laws of God because he became very strong. He's not threatened by anything. Then the Lord, in his mercy, had to change this. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, I squeezed them, أضيق عليهم, so they'll understand. This is, I think, in the book of Ramea, maybe chapter 10, says that Udayyah, I squeeze them that they'll understand. They're. So that's what happened to this king of Israel. It happened in his fifth year of his establishment that the Lord sent Pharaoh. His Pharaoh at that time name was Shishak, king of Egypt. He came against Jerusalem because they transgressed against the Lord. So it was punishment, clearly. He came with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, and he brought with him people from black south of Egypt, like Libyan, Ethiopians. These people were tall and strong, and the fight at that time was body with swords and things like that. So they were too scary and attack. Moreover, he took the fortified cities of Judah. So he is creeping towards him in a very strong way. He knew that there's no way for me. The prophet then was Shemaiah. The prophet, he came to him and said, this is your cup, the consequence of you forgetting God. He'll come to destroy you. He said, the Lord said, you left me, I left you to the hand of Shishak, that Pharaoh. Now, the verse that I'm searching is verse 6, says, so the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves. They denied themselves. They became humbled, became broken hearts, and they bowed down before the Lord and said something, the Lord is righteous. We cannot blame you, God, for punishing us. We deserve the punishment. Now, he says, when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to the prophet, telling him, they have some humbled themselves. Therefore, I will not destroy them. So the Lord changed his mind. Again, in verse 12, it says about the king, when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely. This is an example of the first point that I'm saying. The benefit of self-denial is that you bypass punishment, which can be very severe. God sometimes has a heavy hand. But in this way, you bypass. If you adopt this policy of self-denial, you can escape punishment, which is very important because some of us get severely punished. We've seen punishment of the Lord in a very severe way. And as these people said, the Lord is right. We deserve that. But there's a way to escape by denying ourselves. Another benefit of this is that you become very beloved to the Lord Jesus Christ because he feels you have my attribute. You are similar to me. When a father sees his son similar to him, it moves his heart. So Jesus can see in us himself. He see that we are displaying his behavior. Because there is no identity in the history that denied himself more than Jesus. He was the Prince of Heaven, the most glorified figure in heaven. And he denied himself to the extent to be born among animals from a very poor family in a very poor village. He had no way to sleep. He has no house. He was humiliated to an extent that he denied himself to the extent of the cross. He washed the feet of his servants. So we become very beloved. This question sometimes comes to us. Do you like to be beloved by Jesus? Yes, of course, then deny yourself. You become his disciple. Is there other benefits? Yes. One benefit is that there is no need for heavy-handed training that I can pass through. I repeat this incident to some of you. Some 30 years ago, we had a beloved servant in our church that she developed bone cancer that was very, very painful. And a servant from our church told me, a female servant, said, can I come with you when you give her Holy Communion? I love this friend. So we went there, and the lady that was sick was crying out of pain. I knew that later, after her death, that her husband told me that she refused to take morphine in the day that I give her Holy Communion. She liked to receive Holy Communion while she is alert. And without morphine, the pain was unbearable. That servant that came with me said, I can't take this. If I develop similar painful terminating cancer, I'll kill myself. And then she asked me, is there a way to bypass this? I said, yes, there is. Self-denial. If you deny yourself, then there is no need for this heavy training. We train people when we see that they need. The Lord likes us to be humble. And he sometimes inflicts on us some difficulties like this painful disease. Is there a way to save me from this agony? Yes, there is. That's self-denial. If you deny yourself, then you give yourself a chance to bypass the difficult training that sometimes get inflicted on us. Again, sorry to repeat myself, sometimes some of you heard this from me before. It was a lady in our church that had removed her breast and the lymph nodes, and after removing this, they take maintenance type of chemotherapy tablets for years, and they repeat the scan every year to see if there is any lapse of the disease. She is not from St. Mark Church, but she knew me, I don't know how, and she came to me and said, please give me counsel, give me advice. Is there a way that I can guarantee I cannot take this journey again? It's agony. Chemotherapy and radiotherapy and pain and vomiting and losing weight, and I can't take this. I do anything for the sake of God to bypass the possibility of recurrence. Is there a way? I said, yes, there is. Self-denial. Then she suggested how to deny herself. How did she do that? She said that I'm not respecting my husband. In her opinion, he's not worthy to be respected. The man is very honorable, but she didn't feel as such. I said, that's the best. You find a door for self-denial. Don't contradict him. Whatever he says, say hadr. Yes, I do. She said, I promised God, you are a witness, that I never contradict him. I'll be like a mat in the house. But this is enough. I said, yes. Every year she comes to me from her church before the scan. Too scared. I said to her, did you fulfill your promise? She says, yes. Yes, Abuna, the whole year, 12 months, I never said to him no in anything. He like left, yes, go left, you like, I do it. Everything that makes him happy with his family. I mean his side of the family. Then I dare to say to her, congratulations. The scan will be free. And it happens. She comes after, she used to visit St. Mark Church twice one before the scan, one after the scan. And she says to me, the result, yes, you are right. The Lord saved me from this agony. The scan is fully free from any relapse. 1 year she came crying and disturbed, and she said, I didn't do my job. I actually humiliated him. I lost it. There's one situation, and then I started being silly to him, and literally, I'm not exaggerating, I got pain in my chest while she was speaking. Literally, I felt pain. And of course, the scan showed relapse, and she died now. This is a teaching for me as a priest. If I like to bypass the difficulty that I'm shrinking against the... I think many of the doctors and the priests saw how hard these diseases are. Do you like a method? The guarantee? I dare to say guarantee that you are not to be facing this agony of pain? Yes, self-denial. Another benefit of self-denial is answering your prayer. The Lord is very, very attentive to the prayer of those people who deny themselves. To the extent that sometimes we search for it. When I need something from God, I search for denying myself. I love it. I found it a chance. When I need God in something, I found great chance in people humiliating me for sake of God. I love it. One day, Abuna Mark was with me when he was Albert, before priesthood. He was in my car, we're going somewhere, and I stopped to pump the tires of my car. And some lovely Muslim friends like to make joke out of me. And they made fun of me, of my clothes and things like that. And then I smiled to them and gave them nice comment, and they went back to the car, and Albert Bunamark at that time told me, are you disturbed? I'll tell you, the God is my witness. God is my witness, I'm not exaggerating. I loved it. Then he looked at, later after being priest for a number of years, he said that I never forget this experience. It was a lesson for me. You are really joyful. I was. Why? Because I know that after that, I can ask for something, and it happens. Whenever I need something from God, I long to be humiliated. I long to be bossed around. I shifted to the other point in my talk about the contemporary saints. I heard the Sony Angel, who is the wife of Abuna Pshoy Kamel, the saint from Alexandria that has been canonized by the Senate. In one of her recorded talks, she said that we longed to buy the house next to the church because the church was expanding and we needed space. We prayed many times with fasting that the house would be for sale. Eventually it happened. It was for sale. I was very joyful. I said to Abuna, rush and buy it at any price. He went and had a meeting with the committee and returned back home. She said to him, congratulations. Allah, no, not as well. We are not going to buy the house. I said, why? Allah, the committee did not agree. I said, what's this rubbish? What committee? We need the house. Allah, the Sunni, who told you that I'm wiser than them? there are wise people, they said that they don't like to buy the house, then we don't buy the house. Of course, he was highly beloved priest. If he said to them, I have to buy the house, they wouldn't concede. But he didn't like that. He enjoyed being bossed around. The committee said to him, no. Why should I? Another story that affects me is Pope Carolus with the head deacon. One of the head deacons that used to pray with Pope Carolus in the Mass loves the long tune. And Pope Carolus didn't like that. Pope Carolus' Mass was about 1 hour. So he didn't like this elongated type of Kyrie. He cuts him short. And the guy went to Sayyidina and he said to him, Sayyidina, if you like me to pray with you, don't do that to me. Then Sayyidina, in his very humble way, said, I'm sorry, son. I promise you that I wouldn't. After some time, he forgot. Pope Carolus forgot. And again, this head deacon was elongating his response. He cut him short. Then the guy was very silly and impolite. He left the church. And then Pope Carolus watched. He found him leaving. You know what he did, Pope Carolus? He asked one of the deacons to stand next to the altar. And he went after him, outside the church, running after him. Son, Isaiah said, what do you need? Hello, I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry, I promised you and I didn't fulfill. Please come back. What is this type of behavior? You are the Pope. Let him go to hell. Imagine the feeling of a Pope. Another time, this story was said by this guy. There was a youth that went to attend Good Friday in the monastery where Sayyidina was praying, Marimina Monastery. And the monks took long time on Good Friday. It was almost 7 p.m. and the service did not finish. So this youth was new to the church and he was very hungry. So he left the church and went to the kitchen and started eating while the service didn't finish. Pope Carolus left the church and went to the kitchen for him. And the boy was too embarrassed. Then Pope Carolus got one orange, peeled it for him, and gave it to him saying, look, son, these monks are used to fasting. You are not. You are new to the church. The fact that you stayed until almost 7 p.m. is great. Please eat, my son. What is this type of self-denial? This is the model of those people that one day, another story about Pope Carolus, that a monk was serving him. And when monks are assigned to serve the Pope, they love it. Great blessing that I'm serving the Pope. And then Pope Carolus went out of his room to this monk and said, son, would you please fix a cup of coffee for me? Happily, he went to fix for him a cup of coffee. He got involved in visitors and he forgot. He didn't fix a cup of coffee to the Pope. When the Pope realized that the monk forgot, he left his room and went to the kitchen and made for himself a cup of coffee. The monk saw him, he was extremely embarrassed. He fell on his knees in front of the Pope, said, please forgive me, Sayyidina, please forgive me. My memory is not helping me, my concentration. Then he said to him something, I'll repeat. He is the one that wrote it. And I never forget what he said. He said to him, son, you are serving God, and I'm serving God. You were meeting people for sake of God, and I was meeting people for sake of God. You were busy, I'm not. So I went and fixed for myself a cup of coffee. Why are you disturbed by that? I'm two brothers. You fix it, I'll fix it. After all, I thank you that sometimes you help me. What is this type of self-denial? It's not usually active like that. I shift to another point, which is the beauty of people denying themselves. How beautiful. Imagine a monastery where the monks are denying themselves. How lovely to live among them. Imagine Sunday school service that every servant deny himself. How lovely to be with them. How lovely to see the priests denying themselves. How comfortable to see the Sunday superintendent denying himself. He say, "Hadir, I'm sorry, whatever you like, I'll change my message to you." This is tremendous. How lovely to have your partner denying himself. Sometimes we make the wrong assessment of a partner that I like to spend my life with. I tell you, unmarried people here, the criteria for your happiness is that you live with somebody that denies himself or herself. There's nothing more joyful. There's no more beauty than denying self. When your partner denying himself, then he doesn't demand his own desires against you. He doesn't complain because you demand some. Remember when Abuna Mark was about to get married? He came to me saying, "Give me advice." I said to him, "Never complain about anything. Suppose that my wife forgot to put salt. Eat happily, smiling, never comment." After marriage, he said, "I needed your advice." It's very, very beautiful to live with a partner, whether at work or the church, or that they deny themselves. Think about it. Is it hard? Yes, of course. We are programmed otherwise. We are programmed to impose our opinion. We love our opinion to be the high opinion. The language, I'm not, how come that they ignored me? How come that I said my opinion and they forget about it? I don't take it. They don't know. I know better than them. This is satanic language. The best language is that, "Yes, Lord, who am I?" I like to, when they selected Pope Carolus to become the Pope, he cried and said, "It was my hope." He was really, he was not pretending. "It was my hope to live and die unknown. But let it be the will of God. They chose me to be the Pope. Let it be the will of God. I do my best to please him. But my ultimate hope was to be hidden. I don't like to exercise authority. I'm not comfortable." You people, if you need something from God, I'm praying that this principle that the Lord ordered us, deny yourself and follow me, to be always in front of my eyes and your eyes. I deny myself. I don't like recognition. I don't like my opinion to be the final opinion at all. I enjoy receiving orders. Receiving orders is a gift. And this leads me to the final point, which is, how can I gain this? There are two ways. One way is to accept what's happening, and the other way is to search for it. Accept what's happening is harder. Harder, why? Because I'm absent-minded. All of a sudden, they ignore me. Then I become agitated. They ignored me. They didn't take my opinion. I said my opinion. Someone took the microphone and gave thanks to every single person except I. He forgot me. This is, sometimes in, say, a dinner, they invited this and that and that, and they forgot me. This is harder because I'm not prepared. But this is more rewarding because it's the real self-denial. Sometimes the other way happened, that I search for it. Then it's a bit easier because I know I am prepared for self-denial. I'm searching for it. I'm happy by being denied. I'm happy to be humiliated. Are you saying something, right? Happy to be humiliated? Yes, for sake of God. Because of the benefits. I'm not naive. I know the consequence of it. Every time we get humiliated because of God, an immediate reward happens. Some 4 or 5 months ago, we received accusation against the church, which is wrong. And we have WhatsApp group among the 8 fathers. And there was discussion that we should not let that go. We should let the person that attacked us understand that he is mistaken and it's not proper to do that. To the extent that one of the priests was suggesting that we have clerical accounts. How could a person accuse us by something not true and he is in authority? Then Abuna Augustinus came into the picture. And he said something wonderful. He said, don't rob us from the benefit. We will be rewarded richly. After 24 hours, we received grants, 300,000 for 5 years. And of course, Abuna Augustinus, with a smiley face, came into the thing and said, please don't try to defend yourself. This is a rule. Defending yourself is a loss. What benefit? You approve yourself that you are good. What benefit? When heaven approves you, it's different. When the gift comes from above, it's different. Be accused. Don't defend yourself. Some people say at work we cannot. I'm speaking about the church environment and the service. Maybe at work, for their benefit, I have to show something about myself. Again, not driven by my selfish benefit, but for the sake of good work. I may have to do that at work for a situation. I'm referring this idea of self-denial mainly in the church, in the service, at the family, with my children, with my wife, with my husband, with my neighbor sometimes. This is something, wealth, that... So I summarize by saying what I said at the start. It is a gift from the Lord to his followers. The Lord doesn't give advice for us, for him, to benefit. He gives us advice for us to enjoy his company, to enjoy living with him. Have you ever seen a person that searches for self-denial and he regretted it? When I read for the first time a comment from son Isaac, the Syrian, saying that the day that you don't get humiliated, consider it a loss in your life. I said, what is this? As the majority of people would say, the language that I'm saying is not acceptable to the world because the world is under the authority of the filthy way of thinking. Suppose that this type of talk is given to any people in the society. They say, what's this rubbish? What this man is talking about? So it's a mystery. But that mystery came from the Lord. Imagine the first time Jesus spoke to give a sermon. This new leader in the history came to give a talk. So people went there, what we call on the mountain, and a very large number was listening to him. Who is this 30 years old carpenter that is a miracle performer and making a movement? Let him speak. So he said at the start, blessed are. When you suppose that I say blessed are and dots, fill in. At that time and until now, you say blessed are the strong, blessed are the authoritative, blessed are the joyful people, blessed are those who have money, the rich. But blessed are those who are poor in the spirit. Blessed are those who are sad. That's the mystery of Christianity. Do all of us understand Christianity? Sometimes no. Sometimes we are deceived by our mixture between what we get taught in the society and what we get taught in the church. Sometimes we as leaders, speaking of myself, forget. And the best person that taught me personally this concept of self-denial was Abuna Tadros Malati. May the Lord give him health and long life. He was telling me things like that since my start of priesthood. He was always telling me that enjoy the status of being ignored. Enjoy it. Understand that this is the mystery of Christianity. Understand this is your call. Don't you ever forget that. Young, old, more glamorous in your position. People clap for you sometimes. People ignore you. Keep it a wealth that you enjoy. Deny yourself and follow the Lord. Glory be to his name forever. Amen. If you have any question, Abuna Elijah said, save me from speaking. I'm sorry, I have to be disobedient. So if you have any question, I'll invite Abuna Elijah to answer for many reasons. Now, one of the reasons is that I don't understand proper English, many of you. Second, I like to benefit as well. Yeah, yeah. So please have questions for Abuna Elijah. Until you prepare one question or two, I'll ask him. Any experience Abuna would like to share about this concept of self-denial? Any benefit that you observed in your service as a priest? How self-denial was a gift? Sorry.
I just would like to echo what Abuna said. It's easy to deny yourself as a priest because of our uniform. And sometimes it's inconvenient, and sometimes, like now, it's hot, you know. But it's a very easy way. And there's something really, if you think it's strange to be a priest like this in public, what's even stranger is to do that holding hands with a pretty girl. And you get a lot of stares. And what's always remarkable is that, without exception, every time someone is particularly unpleasant or just really stares us up and down, or really just like, you know, turns their head around in disgust, and you just start to think, oh, you know, it's such a burden and inconvenience sometimes. Without exception, every time that happens, on the same day, there is enormous joy. Because of the uniform, on the same day, somebody humiliates you, and 2 minutes later, you know, oh, please pray for us, Father, and on the same day. And so exactly as Abuna said, now, because of that repeated experience, it's a source of joy. So somebody stares at us, like, all right, what's going to happen now, you know, when this is wonderful. So it's true that self-denial is a gift, and it's automatic, I guess.
Questions, please. Is it hard for you people? Yeah, sometimes it's pretty hard, come on. Because it's against the natural desire. Since we are children, even from our parents. If you go to your dad and mom and say, any action that you deny yourself, they say, are you stupid? What happened? So if you have any experience about the difficulty of self-denial, let us expose it and the Buddha will help us. Yes?
Because, please come.
So you mentioned that, you know, when you're in certain situations and you're prepared, you know, to deny yourself, it's, I don't want to say it's easier, but you're prepared, I suppose. But you get caught off guard sometimes. So do you have any advice in those situations where, you know, each of us have our weaknesses and all of a sudden you find your blood boiling? How do you still follow that hard calling?
I wish that.
Well, I tell you something. We need reminders. I love to see some people having these reminders by displaying verses or saying of the fathers. If you visit me in my unit in the church, you may find some verses, unfortunately Arabic, displayed on the fridge. A reminder for me that I wouldn't forget, because it's very easy to forget. A reminder for me. I loved the way the Lord spoke to Prophet Elijah. The Lord was, may the Lord forgive me for abusive thinking, the Lord was embarrassed for Elijah, telling him, what can I do? I have to punish Ahab, but I can't. I cannot punish him. Look yourself, what happened? What happened is the man humiliated himself, denied himself. I cannot punish him, says the Lord. The Lord embarrassed Jonah. Jonah went and said a fact. The Lord informed me that after time, you will be destroyed. So the Lord had to apologize to him. I'm sorry, I cannot destroy them. So if you remind yourself, answer this question, remind yourself by verses and stories and teaching. When we ask Kareem to make it as a theme this year, it's meant to be a reminder. It's meant to make the church flourish, which the church is flourishing. There's something there in the church, no doubt. Maybe an occasion to change the topic a little bit and speak about what happened over the last 2 months about buying houses. A dream came to us 30 odd years ago that the church will increase. For almost 3 or 4 months, the youth meeting was attended by zeros. No one comes. And after 3 or 4 months of continuous prayer, I and Adel Lewindi, because there was no youth meeting, and Uncle Magdi said, youth meeting is not a responsibility of Sunday school, it's your responsibility. There was no youth meeting. At last, one person came, very hesitant, and he looked inside, we cracked him. And that was the style at the start. So with very unexpected wild dream, I thought that if we buy these houses, we extend the church. And it was almost a joke at that time. And the first house that came to our mind to buy was Amma Ayyub house, which is the first in the land. When I said that to committee, they looked at me as a crazy priest. What's that? One of them said, why to buy a house among all Muslim to people and very far from the church. Why? I didn't deny myself. I put my foot down. So out of their politeness, they said, okay, 500,000. Then Karam, this chorus, who is a civil engineer interested in building, said, it's a joke. We have tables. This is more than 1,000 meters square. It will go at least 700,000. So it is no, it's impossible. Tell them, it's not going to happen yet. If you are serious to buy the house, say a reasonable 500,000 is a joke. It's double block. Again, I pretended that I'm angry, took my books, went out, and said, don't you expect me to attend any meeting anymore. I'll come to play in mass and go home. Totally against self-denial. A very gentle man followed me and said, Father, take 25,000. Anyway, it ended by 525. They went to the auction. Khaled, you remember the day? After the auction, Khaled telephoned me, I didn't answer you. Because I knew that you'd tell me sorry, but you didn't get it. But you telephoned me a number of times. So I said, I love Khaled very much. So I answered Khaled as a friend, not as the secretary of the committee then. And he said, congratulations. My heart dropped, congratulations. And what happened, as I understand, there was bidding against one Chinese person by 1,000. He says, 20, he said 21. He says, 523, 24. Then we said 525. If he say 525 and 5 cents, he did it. But he was shut up and we got the house. And it came one house after the other. Every single house, there was evidence that the Lord liked us to acquire this land. The Lord liked us to acquire this land. I tell you some stories about these houses because it's really enjoyable. One house, the owner of the house came to me. His name was Muhammad, and he said, Father, buy my house, but don't announce that. I trust you. Give me this figure, I don't remember, and I'll sign for you. Choose the solicitor, I'll sign. I need to trust you people. But don't say that to Latin al-Bshafi, otherwise they'll kill me. And don't regret that you are paying me above the market value. I'll take the money and go to Paris. And I have to be protected by bodyguards about what is going to happen to me. And it happened. We bought the house. I remember one house that Dr. Amir was living there. And he said, 850,000. I was very happy. Doesn't matter. I mean, above the market value, of course, but it doesn't matter. And Badaniel arrived to Sydney. I went to him and I was very happy. He said, Badaniel, say congratulations to your servant. We'll buy a house. And you, what house? I told him, how much? I said, 850,000. He said, you have the money? I said, no, we get loan. No loans. I don't believe in loans. I said, Sayyidina, we are not in Egypt or Sudan. He said, everyone buys by loan. And he, no. My name is written by pencil. It's not, do you need me to be wiped out? I said, no, Sayyidina. And he don't speak to me about loans. Sayyidina, where the, there is no. So I went miserably to the English church and I said to the youth, that's the case. I didn't say it was the details of what happened. I said that we are incapable to take loans. Then one gentle Australian man came to me and said, what's the problem? I told him we are incapable to get loans. And how much? 857. And give me your bank account. What do you need my bank account for? The money will be in your account tomorrow. Okay? Can Faiz Halania there? Come, Faiz, speak to this man. second day in the morning, Vice Hananiah gave me a ring, 850,000 was. So we kept until one house 2 months ago. We bought it 1.6 million, the small house after our land, to make our land look rectangular. And this is needed by the architecture, to make the land capable for the new project. So we bought it. Then remained one house. That house told the owner of the house, Mr. Shara, he told me, I will remove you from here. You think that you buy my house? You remember me, I will remove the Coptic Church from you. I am authoritative enough. I have connections. You will leave, Uncle Ivan. My grandfather was born here. And you asked me to sell you at my house? We bought his house yesterday. But we have another problem. The other problem is that when we bought the previous house by 2,050,000, the negotiation happened through Abuna Osteens. Then Abuna Jonathan is a very wise man. He said, where the money comes from? I said, I don't know. I just speak to him, this is too much. No, I'm happy. Then grabbed the microphone and said, Abuna Osteens drowned us. He has to sell his house. Then his cousin came to me and said, no! He believed that. What's the solution? Only I pay the 10%. And then money flooded. In 8 weeks, we got the whole amount of money. Why I'm saying this story? Because we need 4 million. Otherwise, Abuna Jonathan will sell his house. Is he around?
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.